This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
If you're a teenager trying to figure out who you are, there's usually a small handful of places where you feel a little bit less alone. Maybe it's a friend's house, a group chat, a corner of the internet that feels like it gets you. Well, now Australia is bringing in a new age limit for most social media platforms. And suddenly, a lot of young people are wondering whether that one place where they feel understood could disappear overnight. Well, Lizzie Moen is a research assistant at University of South Australia and part of a team listening to trans young people talk about where they find information, comfort, and community. Lizzie, for anyone who's only heard fragments of this debate, what exactly has the government decided when it comes to social media and under 16s?
So they've decided that it's really up to the platforms that they need to take reasonable steps to prevent underage users from having accounts on their platforms. And so there's various platforms. They've looked at a whole bunch of them, over 100, and there's maybe, I think, just under 10 that they've decided on banning young people under the age of 16 from having accounts.
From the stories you're hearing, how do young people actually use these platforms in their day-to-day lives?
They use it in a lot of different ways, and from the sort of lens that I take on it, you know, I think of it as them really taking responsibility for their own education, where schools are kind of lacking their sort of sex education, but also like ways of engaging with the community and their sort of civic engagement. So there's various, you know, from just trying to get the terms, like just basic information often that they're not getting at school, just what different sexualities and genders are. They're also, you know, using it as a place sort of to build community and have that sense of becoming and belonging and overcoming, you know, the isolated feeling that they have when they're in their schools or religious communities or even with their families. They also use it for to find role models. So it's often really helpful for them to see happy queer couples living their lives. And the young people that we've spoken to are all religious or from religious families or at religious schools. And so just seeing that they can, you know, have a very happy life while being both religious and queer is really very meaningful to them.
Just on that, for teens in conservative or religious households, how does the internet become a quiet place to explore things that they can't necessarily ask at home?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge place for them where they can, you know, they can actually be themselves. And there's, you know, different affordances of online social media platforms means that they can do it sort of without having to own up to who they are in a way, which gives them that privacy. And, you know, it's the only place they have, because often with their families, they'll, you know, be told that they're sinning and that they're going to go to hell. They'll get the same messages at school. Religious schools are allowed to discriminate against them. So it's really the only place they have to go and get the information they need, as well as connect and with other queer young people.
We're chatting with Lizzie Moen, a research assistant at the University of South Australia, about how Australia's new social media age ban could affect trans teens who rely on online spaces for belonging and support. A lot of the teens talk about the first time they see a positive queer or trans relationship online. From what you've heard, how much impact can those early moments of representation have on their life?
It's absolutely huge. Like, it just gives them a sense of what is actually possible. You know, like, so in their own world, they feel like, oh, you know, I can't be myself. Whereas they see these role models and they think, wow, there is a world out there that's possible, that I could actually have that. And they also get some sense of being able to almost sort of have some sort of experiential learning of like practicing that, building these same, let's say, a same-sex relationship online, just chatting, thinking, wow, I'm having these good feelings. I could actually have that in my offline world as well.
Now, we know that trans youth face some of the toughest mental health statistics in Australia. How much difference does it make when they have access to supportive online communities from the conversations that you're having with them?
It makes a huge difference. Like, it makes all the difference for them. You know, they they don't know, they often don't even have the language to be able to talk about, you know, who they are and their identity. And so having a space where they can learn these things is massive, and where they can just freely ask questions about, you know, well, if I want to transition, you know, what happens? And they could just have that freedom that is just so, so important to their sense of self and to their happiness.
Now, there's been a lot of talk, Lizzie, about whether this ban can even be enforced. What concerns do you have about teens turning to secret or unsafe workarounds just to stay connected?
Yeah, I mean, it's very worrying. Like, at the moment, even like platforms that they can access, so like something like YouTube that they can no longer have an account on, that they can still just access generally, they no longer are getting, you know, a feed that they've curated with the things that they want. So they're actually much more prone to getting, you know, unwanted and potentially harmful material.
So what?
As well as the...
Continue. Please continue.
I was just going to say that as well as the fact that then if they do find themselves in trouble, you know, they will feel like, oh, I've done something wrong and I can't tell anybody. Mm. And so that puts them even at greater risk.
How do we balance? I mean, we hear about the impact that social media has on kids and their mental health. How do we balance that in terms of stopping kids from accessing social media, yet at the same time allowing marginalised children to have access to their support networks? How do we strike that balance?
You know, I don't know. I think it's a really difficult one, and I think that's one of the problems with this ban going through, is that it did seem kind of rushed, and there wasn't a lot of consultation. I don't think young people's voices were listened to understand, you know, how they were actually engaging with these online platforms. And so, I don't have the answer, but I think that we've listened too much to all these negative stories and just ignored all these great stories of young people feeling safe finally when they're not safe in their offline world.
What do you reckon would have been a more thoughtful approach to working out such a solution, one that I suppose recognises the needs of trans teens and the needs to protect kids overall?
I think just slowing down a bit and actually talking to trans teens. I don't think a lot of consultation was done, and actually finding out, like, you know, how they're using it and why they're using it. You know, where actually is the problem? Because I think that the ban really doesn't address the issue. It just sort of goes, oh, we'll do this while ignoring, you know, the actual problem.
What are your concerns once the bans come into place and these platforms become harder to access? What are your concerns in terms of the gaps that in support that young people would immediately notice?
Well, I mean, I think that you know, they, young people, when they talk about their experiences at school, you know, they experience a lot of bullying, and like both physical and verbal bullying, and there's a real lack of support from often from teachers, but even more so from leadership, which you know obviously puts them in a terrible position where there's a lot of depression, and we hear lots of these negative stories, and I just expect they will get worse. You know, these young people are being further marginalised, and they're not going to have a place to go, or if they you know try to, it will be very secretive and potentially more dangerous.
Lizzie, it makes me sad when you hear about, you know, people like teachers or adults that have a custodianship role, don't we, to look after kids. And we don't necessarily protect them when we should be. And I think we underestimate the impact that has on kids when we do ignore it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's really sad. Well, keep us posted on what your discussions reveal with these young adults, Lizzie.
I will. Thanks, Warren.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive today.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Lizzie Mourn from the University of South Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.